rising, beautiful black people. It's been a minute. I hope you've been keeping well. I am very happy to be back. For this episode, I wanted to share something that has been bringing me so much black joy, and that is the show Lovecraft Country. If you haven't heard about it already, the synopsis of the show is Lovecraft Country follows Atticus Freeman as he joins up with his friend Letitia and his uncle George to embark on a road trip across 1950s Jim Crow America in search of his missing father. This begins a struggle to survive and overcome both the racist terrors of white America and the terrifying monsters that could be ripped from a Lovecraft paperback. It's a show on HBO. It can be found on Crave, as well as other places if you know where to look. Wink, wink. Hit me up if you need help finding those other ways to watch, if you know what I mean. It is written by a black woman by the name of Misha Green, amongst other writers. And it is executive produced by Jordan Peele, amongst other executive producers. It's rated 90% on Rotten Tomatoes, and it has the white seething, darling, at how well it's done. So if you are not watching Lovecraft Country, please give it a try. It is a lot to take in the beginning, but I promise you it's all for good reason. And in my humble opinion, on my little show right, Chessa, it's a great show. And if you are watching Lovecraft Country, be warned, this episode contains spoilers. If you don't want spoilers, you can check out the next episode. And if you do, onwards. Okay, so today I will be talking about episode 7 of Lovecraft Country. It's called I Am. And I'm talking about this episode in particular because for me, it was so beautifully done. It has to be one of my favorite episodes of the series, and I can definitely see myself rewatching that episode again in the near future. I love Hippolyta. I loved being able to see a beautiful, intelligent, intuitive, curious, nurturing, logical black woman character on my screen. And Hippolyta in the show is Diane's mom. She is a discoverer. She is George's wife. She is Tick's aunt. And so we see her interact with them throughout the season. And yeah, I love her. She is incredible. She is my favorite character of the show. The actress that plays her has definitely won a place in my heart forever. She did the damn thing. And because of her passion, I was able to experience these moments of black joy throughout this episode and throughout the series. So I thank her. Anjanue Ellis, thank you. Lovecraft Country, thank you. And Afrofuturism on my screen as I navigate this new pandemic world order. Thank you. I am definitely manifesting season 2 of Lovecraft Country. I am also manifesting creative sparks to be lit in other black creatives so we can get an array of Afrofuturists, black-centered shows, and works like these on our screens way more often. And P.S., if you are listening to this and you know of any other Afrofuturist shows or series or shorts, please, please hit me up. I would love to take them in. Okay, back to episode 7. So, there were a couple of moments that resonated with me that I'm going to share with you. These were definitely some pause and reflect moments for me. The first moment that I wanted to share was when Hippolyta names herself as a dancer for Josephine Baker. And, you know, they're kikiing, and it's the montage of Hippolyta getting more familiar with Josephine and the dancers. And Josephine was expressing to Hippolyta that anybody can be a superstar, but that there are moments where she felt like an actual star in the cosmos, an actual star in the universe. And that what comes with that is also the feeling of already being extinguished. And that scene spoke to me. There have been times in my life where I have felt that shine that Josephine described so beautifully. That burning passion, that fire, the light inside of me, that flame. It's almost like a heat that engulfs my body, and then there is pride and there's fearlessness that accompanies it. And so that exchange between Josephine and Hippolyta, it really reminded me to A, be grateful that I've experienced something similar to this star feeling before, which then allows me to acknowledge that greatness lives within me, and B, that I actually want to hold on to and harness that feeling. I want to understand that feeling further so I can use it for good, for my good and for the good of my people, my community. So this scene actually reminded me that I want to shine like an actual star in the galaxies above from the inside out. That I want to transcend this earth via my mindset and my behavior, because we are, unfortunately, amongst a humanity that is lost, and I simply can no longer relate. I don't want to fear, but rather I want to make more room for me to be who I am. I want to be able to name myself like Hippolyta in episode 7. I want to remember that I can name myself. And so that scene invigorated me, and it reminded me of how important on-screen representation of Black folks is to for our inspiration and for our inner reflection. So if I didn't see that, I wouldn't have been thinking about this light that I possess, that I actually want to use and harness. And so that scene spoke to me. Another moment that resonated with me so incredibly deeply was the scene in which Hippolyta returns to George, naming herself as his wife. The emotional intelligence and care shared between Hippolyta and George in that scene was beautiful. I treasured the moment where Hippolyta names her anger with George, because as someone who struggles to name the difficult feelings I may be feeling at times, this was a helpful scene to watch. It was a helpful reminder. I also appreciate that although at first George was acting a bit incredulous, he was acting a bit sus to the facts, he smartened up in the presence of his woman being vulnerable with him and naming her feelings, and he took accountability for his active participation in Hippolyta shrinking herself and therefore feeling the way that she felt towards him. And that's major. So major. I love and I rate heavily the way Hippolyta expressed her feelings throughout the entire episode. In her moments of vulnerability with George, I witnessed a different facet of her power. Being vulnerable is the soil that loving, thriving relationships need, and Hippolyta reminded me that you can work through difficult and painful emotions with grace in the circumstances that nurture these moments. And so it was inspiring to see a Black couple on my TV screen address a very difficult and sensitive subject in a loving, mindful, and clear way that found resolve. That scene set an example that We should all aspire to when it comes to conflict resolution between loved ones or people we are in relationship with, no matter the relationship dynamic. I really appreciated that scene, and I hope that as we watch, or as you watch, you're taking note to see how you can better resolve conflict in your interpersonal relationships moving forward. The third moment in the episode that resonated with me was the scene where Hippolyta was in battle training mode. The viewer understands that she's preparing to kill an army of white men in battle for the patriarchy, sexism, and racism that they've perpetuated against her throughout her life, leading her on a path of almost completely forgetting her value. I also interpreted that scene as Hippolyta proving to herself that she could do it in the first place. I noticed that they hinted at her preparing for this battle over an extended course of time, which parallels the internal struggles we all have of overcoming fear, insecurity, inadequacy, you name it, in the face of self-improvement. Simply put, it takes hella time. It was a beautiful reminder for me to keep going, to keep pushing and to keep fighting, especially if at the finish line is a version of you that you know exists deep within, but maybe a version of you that the world isn't used to or ready for. Another moment in this scene that touched me was Hippolyta's crowning ceremony. It made my heart smile. Her crown helmet had a train/trim type situation going on. And for all those in the carnival industries, we can easily identify her crown trim as something that would definitely be on a carnival costume. I'm thinking the Lost Tribe from Trinidad Carnival Energy. That detail may have not been as important as I'm making it, and I'm sure the carnival industry isn't too far removed from the costume industry anyway, but to me, it was a nod to my dual heritage. We are to understand that the warriors are preparing for battle in an African or African-descended/inspired land, Earth, wherever they are in the universe, which resonates with my Ghanaian heritage. And then the trim on the crown, that slight little small detail to me was reminiscent of carnival and a nod to my Vinci heritage. And so, y'all, I'm telling you, this episode spoke to me on so many levels. Like, I was able to find myself, see myself in this episode. Wow. And it was just so beautiful. It was just such a beautiful expression of the journey of self-discovery and self-affirmation. So, in conclusion, as a piece of art, as collaboration between many people, Lovecraft Country was an intentional success to me. The series is a display of Black creativity that I love, and I value being able to see it as I navigate this life as a Black queer woman. It has the elements of adventure that I love. It has elements of magic that I love. And so please, please do check it out if you can and partake in these Black joy moments with me. And if you do check it out, let me know your thoughts. I would love to hear what moments stuck out to you this season. And let's all put our good juju in the universe for a season 2 of Lovecraft Country. So yeah, another episode for the books. I hope that you enjoyed listening to this, and I do hope that your interest is piqued in checking out the show. If you are listening to this on your favorite podcasting platform, please do like, subscribe, share, 5 stars, write a review, all of that good energy, so that I can continue to grow and that this platform will continue to be as visible as possible. You know I can't do it without you, and so I love you and I thank you for listening. Please take care of yourself. Please do your best to stay as well as possible. And again, I love you. Peace.